Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, new book. You hear what I said? New book. How about a new view of looking at this book? It should be new to my spirit today, although I've studied this book for years. I want a new experience today in this book. I want to know something that I have missed on all the previous experiences of walking through this book. And if you desire that, you will too. But if I don't desire to learn, I won't. Okay? Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we other than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As he said before, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you other than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Excuse me. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For if you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Sicily, and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had only heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Man, this is a lot of stuff. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. We go back to the first verse again. And again, what's the name of this book? Above my book here in chapter 1, it says, The Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the who? To the Galatians. What does the word Galatians mean? Well, if you go a little farther and dig a little farther, it means white. That what you gave was what the Strong says. But if you go a little farther in some of the older books, this one over here, this...
I wasn't satisfied, man. I went through everything on the computer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is called Hitchcock's Bible Dictionary of Names. It's on the internet. You can download it free. Okay, it's on Gary's website. You can download it free. It's very handy. At one time, Lois and I printed a bunch of them up. It was a bunch of work. We printed it up and put them in those little folders and put them in them and handed them out to everybody in the fellowship at the time. We made about 12 or 14 of them. But it's very handy because it has things. This book's out of print, so you can't buy it, but you can download it free. But anyway, it means white. Okay, now, what would white mean to you? We're talking symbolism. There we go. So let's read this thing again. The epistle of Paul, or the letter of Paul, the apostle, unto the who? To the righteous ones. See, this book wasn't written to everybody in creation. It's written to the ones that God has called as first fruit, which are righteous. And I don't care if anybody disagrees with me. That's okay. I see that God is writing this book to the ones that are righteous, and that's the ones that has the ability to do what? To hear what God says. See, just like we've been talking all morning. Excuse me. Okay, now we'll get started. Chapter 1, Paul says this. Paul, and he's identifying himself, Paul. What does the word mean? It can mean small or little in the Greek language. But you go back, it's a root word that comes from the word Saul in the Hebrew, which means what? It can mean small, little, but there's also another meaning in this word, which means desired. Does that tell you anything about Paul? He was desired of God. Did Paul go running to God and say, God, save me? How did Paul get brought into the kingdom? He had a Damascus Road experience. I heard a man preach on that one time and said, have you ever been knocked down blinded by a light? Then you never had a Damascus Road experience. See? Everybody says this because it sounds spiritual. See? But yeah, you know what? Some of us have been knocked down and blinded. I've been blinded to the things of the world. See, that was a man who was preaching out of the natural, saying, I got to physically go blind by this great big bright light, and then I can say I've had a religious experience like Paul had. I don't think Paul was knocked down in the flesh, except for a pattern to show that I have to be blinded to the things of the world. And Paul stayed blind for this many days. You think that's a coincidence? 3 days. Huh, imagine that. See? And see, we were blinded by the world. We were blinded. And then, after this bright light called a sun come into my life, I was blinded to the things of the world because it just took my attention straight to the light. See? I didn't lose my vision. I gained it. Is there a difference? Shoot. Many people don't know what they're talking about. We've all had that Damascus experience when we've lost the vision of the world and gained back our vision, our original vision, back into our Father. Oh, God, help us. That's the word Paul. I could go on. I love this. God, this is wonderful. I love it. Okay. Paul is an apostle. Someone tell me what an apostle is. Paul is an apostle, one sent, with orders from God. Do you know what the language says? The language says, an ambassador of the good news. What is the good news, Bob? God is reconciling all of creation back to himself. Anybody ain't preaching reconciliation, they're not an apostle. They're not an apostle. That book says so. You have to preach the good news. And someone preaching hell and a devil is not preaching good news to me or anybody else. Are they? There ain't nothing good news about that. That's condemnation and guilt. There ain't nothing good about it. I'll say it to anybody in the world. An apostle preaches good news. He's not focused upon sin. He's God conscious. And he can't see anything else because he's been struck by the light. Hello? Isn't that the truth? I've been struck by the light. I'm blind to everything else. I don't care whatever people do. I've been struck by the light. And look what he says. He's an apostle, not of men, not of humanity, neither through humanity, but through Jesus Christ. How did he become an apostle? Through the Christ that was revealed within him. Because he says later in the chapter, once I had the revelation of Jesus Christ, I no longer conferred with flesh and blood. He was, in a way, talking about going and saying, hey, what do you think? What do you think, Shannon? You know what he did? He talked to the Christ within him. Hello. There's the reality. He knew who he was. It goes back to identity. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. I'm just getting started, but hang on. Bob ain't here. I already went across the line twice already this morning. Just stay back here, huh? Okay. Okay. But he's through Jesus Christ that he was made an apostle. There's nobody can say, I am an apostle, I am a prophet, I'm this, I'm that, unless the Christ in you makes you that. It's only the Christ being revealed. And it's not the Christ being revealed in you for someone else to see that makes you that. It's the Christ in you making you know who you are. You got to know who you are. Can't be about nobody else. If I can't straighten myself up, I can't straighten nobody up. See, everybody's wanting to go tell you what's wrong with you. What did this preach in Luke 6 the other night? Can't get the log out of your eye? How can you fix the splinter out of somebody else's eye? There's the problem with the whole religious system. They're all saying, I'm righteous because I said, Jesus, forgive me. All hogwash. Ain't nobody got right by that. You're only going to be made right by the Christ being revealed in you, and then, only then, can you be made righteous, and then you can take somebody else the right way. I'm going to get excited. Hang on. Father, help me. Through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Well, you know what? If he raised him and I'm part of him, how in the world could I not have been resurrected? Huh? If he resurrected, then guess what I am? I am resurrected. If you don't believe it, you ain't. But if you believe it, I'm not saying believing it intellectually, but I believe it in the very core of my being. I believe that I am part of the Son of God. And nobody can take it away from me. And you know why? Because it wasn't because some man come and laid hands on me and prophesied to me, you're going to become a son of God. No, because God spoke in my heart and said, today you're a son destined to reign. I don't need nothing else. I heard the Father speak that. Do I think I need some other witness for somebody to come and lay hands on me? No, brother, when God speaks, you don't need a witness. I got the witness, Him. Oh, help us. Help us, Father. Get out of religion. That's what Paul's trying to do here. He's trying to destroy all this religious garbage that was even in the first century. My God, you know it's gotten worse. Leave it to man. They'll do it, I guarantee you. They'll screw it up. Verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me... That word with is wrong. That word with says this. You ought to mark that word out and write these three little words in. In union with. In union with. That's what it says. See? And all the brethren that are in union with me. That means they're part of them, don't it? If I'm in union with you, I'm part of you. Isn't that what we talked about today? About being in union and a fellowship and this being our family. See, this is our family no matter where they live. That doesn't make any difference. Just like Mark Bailey and Lisa sent us a letter Thursday from Arkansas. And Mark said, I'm part of this fellowship. Sure he is. See, because there's only one fellowship in God. Sandy said the same thing last night from Kansas. You know, these people are just as much of this fellowship as the ones that are sitting in this room today. Just because we're separated by distance doesn't mean that we don't have the same heart of God. See, there's not all these church organizations. There's just groups that people's got together. There's only one body of Christ. And the reason we can't see it because we don't believe in the union of God. Paul's calling a union here. He didn't say all the brothers that's with me here. He said everybody that's in union with me. See, if we're in union, we don't have to be in the same room to be brothers and sisters and part of this body. We can be anywhere in the world, anywhere. Makes no difference. To all the brethren that are in union with me, and to the what? To the ecclesia, who? The called ones of Galatia. Or the righteousness. The called out ones of the righteous place. Or the righteous one. The ones that's called out of where? Called out of Him. See, where'd we start? In Him. And we were called out to do a job and return back to Him. We never really left him. We were just sent on a mission. That's what the apostles do, isn't it? We just do our mission. Take our orders and go do them. Oh, I love this next word. Grace. Grace. Can't say it enough. Can't have it enough. Can't give it away enough. Can't give it all away. Because every time you give some away, it multiplies in your hand. Every time you give grace away, there's more grace given back to you. Paul even says it in a lot of his writings. Grace be multiplied unto you. You know why? He knew it was. As soon as you give grace to someone else, you just get more of it. So the next time you see somebody, you can give more grace to more people. You can never give it all away. God, that's good news. Isn't it? Oh, my goodness. It's great. I just love it. Grace to you. To who? There you go. See, Paul's telling you, grace to you, each one of you, grace. And peace. You know where it comes from? It don't come by standing on your head in the corner saying, or whatever them words are. See, it don't come that way. It comes from who? Our Father and, not from, it's our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, everybody says, well, that's all the same one. Well, yeah, that's one. We're all one. But see, it's our Father. This grace and peace comes from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? We are. I am. You are. See? So I'm going to find grace and peace from my Father and from all of you. See? That's why we got to come together. Because there's grace in here. There's grace to give to somebody else when they are not walking in the peace they should be. We come in and say, grace and peace. See, just let it run off of you. Just like the anointing was poured on Aaron's head and ran down over his beard and over his clothes and dropped onto his feet. Everywhere he went, he was just dripping with the anointing. That's grace and mercy. There's the thing we need to be able to understand the rest of humanity. See, I don't have to understand why you did it. I just got to learn how to love you in spite of. That's grace and mercy. I don't have to understand why you do all the things you do or anybody else does. I need to know how to love you. Does that make any sense? It does to me. I just need to know how to love you. Because if I love you, you know what's going to happen? If you're doing something that somebody around you don't like and they don't beat you up and condemn you, but they love you, in spite of that, eventually you're going to recognize that somebody loves you. And just like our Father, when we find out He loves us, we're going to do nothing to offend Him. See? We're going to try to find something to please them. Same way, if it's anybody around you that doesn't sit well with you, right? You love them, and eventually they're going to say, hey, that person's a pretty good person. What can I do to do good to them? Look what they're doing to me. Man, they should be throwing rocks at me. And you know what? They're doing good things. What can I do to do good to them? To all men unto me. That's what it says, isn't it? John 12, John 10. Then John. Okay. Who gave Himself for our sin. That word isn't plural. For our sin. And there's only one sin on the face of the earth. Somebody tell me what it is. Unbelief. Unbelief, which is the root of everything everybody said there. See, the only thing is the rejection, the doubts and all these things. All this stuff comes from what? Unbelief. See, the only sin we have is unbelief. How did Abraham become the father of the Jewish nation? By believing. So he absolutely had to have been in unbelief to become a believer. For us to become a believer, what were we? We were in unbelief. So the only sin we have is not believing what God said. I know that's making it simple. But the church world wants you to pinpoint, well, what about drugs? What about illicit sex? What about alcohol? What about lying, stealing? No, them all come from unbelief. Because just like I said, if you find a reason to love Him, you know what? They'll love you back and they'll find a way to please you instead of find a way to aggravate you. Knowing your identity. Boy, this is so simple. God, it's just so simple. Who gave himself for our sin that he might what? The word might isn't there, by the way. That he do what? That he deliver us. He died that he would deliver us. It's not that he might deliver us. None of that's what the church world teaches. If you're real good, maybe you can make it, even though he died for your sin. You mean he done it for no reason? That's pretty stupid. My God's not stupid. My Father's not stupid. He died knowing that it reconciled the whole world back into himself. So guess what? Scratch that word might out, because it's not in the language. Okay? That he could deliver us from this present evil age. See? Now, we're not talking about the world being evil. It's the way that the people of the times think. It's a thinking process that's the evil thing. Yeah, I know it manifests out in the physical, but if it wasn't the problem of being inside in the thinking process, they wouldn't do those things. They don't do them for no reason. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart flows all the murder and evil and abominations that come into the lives. It comes from the heart. So it's all going back to the thinking process. It's the thinking process of this age. And look what it says. He delivers from this present evil age according to the will of God. Take the word and out there. That's added. Take it out there because it says, according to the will of God our Father. It's like there's a God and we have a daddy too. Does that make sense? No, he is my daddy. He's all in all, isn't he? That word and shouldn't be there. Okay. Verse 5. To whom be glory into the age of ages. So be it. Amen. That's all there is. Verse 6. I marvel. I'm amazed. I'm shocked. Because, the word that should be because, because you are so quickly not removed but deserting from him that called you not into but by, who called you by the grace of Christ into another gospel. Let me just expound this. This is a mouthful. He said, I marvel, I'm shocked, I'm amazed, because you are so quickly deserting from him that called you in, he called you not into, but in or by the grace. How did you get called? By grace. See, you didn't get called by condemnation and threats and fear of going to hell or burning for eternity, did you? You got called by the grace of God. That means God said, son, I love you no matter what you've done. That's grace. I know you made mistakes, but that's all right. You learn from them. And you go on with your life. He never called us by fear of hell and intimidation, did he? He called us by grace into him. Oh, Jesus is so beautiful. So simple. But he called you into the grace of Christ by another gospel. See, how many people get called by the grace of God to come and so quickly they turn back into that gospel of man? Well, I know you just got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but now if you'll meet these 7 points, 7 being a religious number, you know, or 12 or 10, if you do these certain steps, then God will accept you. Well, what was this grace all about I just got? But where's all this grace that he just gave me? Immediately I reject the grace and go into the traditions of man. Something is bad wrong. That's what Paul is dealing with here. You think Paul wrote this just for those people back in the first century? He's trying to tell you this is the same pattern throughout time. This is the same thing that's going on today. They're called by the grace of God, and immediately man comes in and says, now, okay, now you're saved by grace, now we got the rules and regulations, you're back under the law. That's exactly what's going on today. It's exactly what Paul was dealing with in the first century. Okay, verse 7. Let me ask you a question. The word gospel, the good news, How many good news is there? See? But he said another gospel, some other thing that sounded good. Sounds good. Didn't the Proverbs say there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death? Okay. Look at verse 7. Which is not another, literally it's not another, it's literally old age, new age, okay? But there be some that do what? Literally agitate you. They stir you up. And they desire what? To pervert the gospel of Christ. Now let me show you what the language says about this. This word agitate means to perplex the mind with doubt, to strike one's spirit with fear, to cause inward commotion, and to take away the calmness of mind or your peace. That's what these other gospels do. Because immediately God gives you grace and says, now you are my son, destined to reign. And immediately say, now, if you do this, you won't go to hell. Wait a minute, am I a son or am I on my way to hell? I'm confused. That's what they do, they agitate you. God says you're a son, destined to reign, and church says, now, you can be a son if you follow all these rules, and if you make one misstep, you're going to slide right into hell. Now, which one's telling me the truth? Somebody's got the gospel mixed up because there ain't no good news about going to hell. The only good news is if I get to go to hell is to get somebody out of it and straighten them up. Didn't Jesus say if you make your bed in hell? Paul, David said it right. If you make your bed in hell, God's with me anyway. See? Oh, help us, Lord. Help us. Which is not another, but there be some that would agitate you and do all this thing, perplex the mind with doubt, strike with your one spirit with fear, cause inward commotion, and take away your calmness of mind, which is your peace. And they desire to what? Pervert, or literally corrupt or distort, the gospel of Christ. Now, which message does what? The message of the good news is God loves you and He's reconciling all of creation back to Him. And they come along and say, if you can walk this tightrope with me, guess what? You might make it to heaven. Now, which one's the good news? Which one brings peace to your mind? Which one brings confusion? God gives you grace and they give you the law. Which one gives you peace? I think you can figure that one out, can't you? It's the grace of God and not the laws and rules and regulations. It says in Hebrews, Paul said, if the first one could perfect, then what would be the need of another covenant? See? God knew what He was doing. Verse 8, but if we or another or any other, excuse me, or any other messenger from heaven, out of the spirit realm, preach or declare any other or beyond, anything beyond or opposed to the gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be what? Excommunicated. Let him be excommunicated. What does excommunicated mean? Separated, removed, get out of here, don't want to talk to you. See? When anybody comes and preaches this other gospel, I don't run the person off. You do it in your mind. It's all in the mind. I don't reject the Jehovah Witnesses when they come to my door. I love them. I love to talk to them because those are the most sincere, hardworking people you'll ever meet. And if the sons of God work the same way, oh my goodness, what we could do to this world. They're sincere in what they do. They're sincerely wrong, but man in works, ain't nobody going to top them. See? Nobody's going to top them. They're dedicated. They spend hours every day learning their lessons. And when they go out, they do not go off of their course. You can't take them off their course. You can jack slap them all day and they're going right back and repeating them same things over and over and over and over and over. They think they have safety in it. They don't, but they think they do. Okay? Because they're going back and doing their homework. If somebody would study this Word of God as hard as they study their doctrines, you know what? Nobody could touch you. If you just believe what God said. Because His Word tells you they can't. Can't touch you. Okay. Verse 9. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach beyond or opposed to the gospel to you other than what you have received from us, let him be excommunicated. Cast it out. We're talking about this thing in our head, because the only thing that preaches to you is what's in your head. Do you think I'm preaching to you? The Spirit of Christ is preaching to you. And you should be hearing Christ in you, witnessing, saying yay and amen or nay. And when somebody comes preaching another gospel to you, your spirit should be saying, nay, no, I ain't buying that one. That, I can't chew that one. I'm going to spit that one out. I think I felt a bone in that piece of fish. See? I felt a briar in that hay bale. I'm not eating that thing. See, that's what your spirit should be telling you. And you should be listening to it, and you'll spit it out. You don't have to reject the people. It's just what they're teaching. Verse 10. Because now do I what? It says persuade men or God. Listen to me. It said, do I listen to obey, or do I yield to God? Do I listen to humanity to yield and obey to humanity or God? Which one am I yielding and obeying? Should be God, not to what people say. See, nobody should be listening to Dave. You should be hearing God. If you don't hear God, then don't listen to me. Just listen to what God tells you. Okay? If I yet or still please humanity, I should not or I could not be the servant or the slave of Christ. Is that right? See, if I'm trying to serve humanity, and I know this, by serving humanity, I'm serving Christ, but not out of duty, but out of love. There's a difference. I do it because I love my Father and I know what He wants me to do because I'm hearing Him. That's why I do it. Not because I read a book and the book said, I got to be good. You see, can you hear what I'm saying? It's not because the book told me, because the book is only a witness of what God wrote in my heart before the foundation of the world. That's why I do it. It just brought it to my remembrance. That's all it is. I've remembered that, hey, I'm not that old bad guy everybody tells me I am. I'm a son of God, and I love people, and I want to do whatever my Father wants me to do. I'm not going to volunteer for nothing, because volunteering is bad. See, that's the good or evil. Just wait and hear what God says. See? God spoke to me years ago and said, not to minister by the need, but minister by the lead. Do you hear that? If we minister by the lead, you're going to see things go by, and people are going to say, I thought you was a man or woman of God. How come you didn't take care of them people? Father didn't tell me. Father don't tell me. I ain't doing it. See, don't you know that if you walk as a spiritual man or woman, you will be questioned by the carnal people, by the religious people? Why didn't you? If you be the Son of God, come down here and fix these people up. You think He didn't go through the same thing? You're going to feel the same thing as He felt on the cross. Well, come on down and get me off this cross. They're going to say the same thing to you. It's just an accusation saying you're not the Son of God. Well, they can tell me that all they want. They've been telling me that for years. It don't work. Because, see, I heard my Father speak. When you hear Him speak, oh, I'm in union with. And I got a hold of Him. I touched Him. I attached myself to Him. Because He touched me. That's what it was. Verse 11. Okay. But I what? Certify is not right. I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel was preached by me. The gospel preached by me is not according to humanity. Hello? You think what I'm preaching is of humanity? If it was, I'd have droves of people hanging around me. Jesus didn't have droves of people hanging around. Not when He got true. When He got down to the nitty-gritty and said, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, whoa, this man's crazy. We're gone. And all He had left was 12 apostles, and one of them was a devil by Jesus' own words. And those 11 men said, where are we going to go, Lord? You got words of life. See? There's going to be a few that find a way to life. Right? Okay. We've got to realize this gospel is not after the human way of thinking. It's not after humanity. It's after the Spirit of God and what Father wants. Verse 12, because I neither received it by humanity, neither was taught it by humanity. And see, everybody says, well, you got to have a teacher. Well, you got one. called Christ, the Spirit of God in you. He's your teacher, isn't he? Okay. He might use a vessel to go through and show you something, but still the Spirit of God teaching you. The Spirit in me teaching the Spirit of you, or the Spirit in you teaching me something. Okay? Neither was I taught it by humanity, but through the revelation or the uncovering of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying this. Now, don't be looking like everybody looks. They say, oh, Jesus was revealed. This great big man, you know, was revealed to me, standing with one foot on a mountain here and then one foot on a mountain over there. Whoa! He said he uncovered Jesus. Jesus was uncovered, and he was uncovered where? In Paul. And he's being uncovered in you today. He's not uncovering somebody that's been dead for 2,000 years and digging him out of a grave or bringing him out of the sky, out of a cloud. He's being uncovered in you. If you don't let him be uncovered, if you keep throwing dust in the air every time he's digging the dust up and you're shoveling it back on, there's a problem. Let him blow the dust away. Let him uncover the Christ in you. Then you won't have a problem. Oh. And see, they say this by the revelation of Jesus Christ or the uncovering. People think, oh, now I got it in my head. I know there was a man called Jesus. Come on. Come on. He's revealing him in you. He's uncovering him. He's getting this flesh thinking out of the way. Throats. Oh, help me, Lord. We know that the Christ has been uncovered. And you know why he's uncovered? Because 2,000 years ago, the stone was rolled away. See, we've been laying in a grave for 2,000 years for no reason. Because the same day he resurrected, what did we do? We resurrected. But we've been laying there like a corpse. The body of Christ has been laying like a corpse in this earth. And the stone's been removed. Isn't that amazing? What are we staying there for? Some preacher told me I had to go to hell. Well, that's where we laid, wasn't it? I have to do these rules and regulations or I can't get to heaven. Right? So we laid in a grave and some man, some humanity has told us we can't go. Hogwash. Paul said this is now. The whole book says now. Oh, help us. Verse 13, I'm going off that one. Oh. Because you have heard of my behavior, not conversation, wasn't about his words. He said, you've heard of my behavior or my conduct in times past in the Jews' religion. How that beyond, not measure, but beyond all others, I persecuted the church of God and ravaged it. Yeah. You know we all did that? In the Old Testament, it was Saul and David. Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. Even David in his religious way of thinking in his time did that. That was you and me, wasn't it? See, in our time of, oh, I can't wait to go out and shove it down somebody's neck. Well, you know, I just choked that person to death. I shoved something down their mouth they couldn't chew. It'd be like taking Joseph and stuffing that T-bone down his neck. See? They don't know what to do with it. Choke on it and die or puke it up. One's all they can do. Can't use it, can they? And that's what we do as Christians. As children of God, we try to run out and stuff it down somebody's neck. Well, that's the only thing we know to do. I mean, because someone told us to do that. The day you was born, they give you a Bible and said, go preach. Might as well give you a machine gun and told you to go out in the crowd and shoot everybody. Yep, take these tracts and pass them out or something. Condemn somebody even if you can't talk. Isn't that what they tell you to do? Go condemn somebody. That's what we're doing. You go out and do it too. Help us. Oh, geez. Okay. Let's go to verse 14. I don't want to stay on that negative side too long. I could have too much fun with it. And I advanced in the Jews' religion. And see, that's what you do in religion. You can advance. You can get stars. You might even get a badge that says elder on it. Or deacon, or something like that. You, huh? Bishop? Yeah, you never know. Apostle, prophet? I mean, that's their names, you know, not God's name. When God hangs one on you, you won't have a badge on your chest. You'll have it in your heart. And everybody else will see it. But he profited in the Jewish religion beyond my equals or the ones his same age. So, in other words, in his class at the seminary or cemetery, he went farther than anybody else. I mean, he excelled. He was number one in his class, see? And that's what they give you points for in religion, that you can be bigger and better than everybody else. Excuse me. What is this about competition in the church? The church is full of it. It's sickening. Competition has no place in God's world, is there? We're not fighting on this thing. We're not trying to see who can get the most. I don't care if nobody comes here if they're where God wants them. See? And all the preachers are concerned about having a great, big multitude of people. And that would make me look like I am prosperous and I'm doing the right thing. Tells me you ain't doing the right thing. Because you got the big room full of people, tells me you're compromising somewhere. You're not doing it right. Because you know what? He said few would find a way to life. So some of them is going to run. Pattern is, they run. Jesus' pattern was, he started talking, they ran. Same thing with Paul. They tried to kill him. And King Agrippa told him, Paul, you know, all this book learning you got, it's made you about mad. He said, you almost convinced me to be a Christian, but I think you're mad. Yeah. That's okay. But I think you're mad. Okay. Now look what he said. Above his own equal, the ones the same age in his own nation, being Jews, being more exceedingly zealous of the what? The language says ancestral traditions. See? And that's what they are. They're ancestral. That means the old traditions carried through. Ancestral doesn't mean just what my family did, but it's speaking ancestral of old things. So we took the things of old and went back. It sounds like you're going back to the law, don't it? Going back, getting them old things and dragging them up here into the new covenant. And that's what the church is doing. They're trying to find something out of the Old Testament to give them, to bring into the New Testament, to make a new tradition out of. How about loving God? How about loving the rest of humanity? John said the first thing you ever heard was love. He said there's no new commandment, but it's the old commandment, which was the first, which is to love your neighbor. Love your God and love your neighbor. There's no new thing. But they kind of come up with something new to impress somebody, called Epicureans and Stoics, if you want to search that one out. Okay? We'll go on to verse 15. Get off them traditions. We don't need them. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, that's not right. The word separated is not there. He appointed me, anointed me. Hello? From where? Where was John the Baptist anointed? In his mother's womb. Imagine that. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and leaped in his mother's womb at just the presence of the Christ in Mary as she walked up. Oh my. See what kind of effect you can have on people? You can walk up and just stir them up inside just by the Christ that's within you, letting him be who he is. Quit trying to put him under rules and regulations. Just be who you be. And just walk up and let the Christ be Christ in you. And it'll shake people to their very core just by being around them. He appointed me from my mother's womb and called me through what? Through repentance? Through slobbering on a board and snotting on a board in the front of a church building? Why, how did he call him? How did he call him, Ed? Through grace. How's this word grace keep slipping in here? You don't hear the church talking about this grace thing. You don't hear religious folk talking about grace. They're talking about, I got somebody saved. I cast the devil out of somebody. Well, try casting him out of yourself first. Then you might be able to help somebody else. Because usually you're just multiplying your devils with somebody else. Take care of yourself. Okay? But they were called through his grace, right? And what is grace again? I'm called through grace. What does that mean? I got to explain this. It means I'm called through the divine influence in my heart. I didn't hear someone in a big megaphone upstairs saying, hey Dave, it's time to come to me. I heard something in my heart had nothing to do with a physical hearing. Inside I heard it. And this divine influence in my heart reflects out into my life now. Had nothing to do with me. By His choice. Just called me. At His time, see? He appointed it. Okay. He called me through His grace to do what? He called me for a reason. To uncover His Son in me. It's time to get you out of the grave. Hello. Oh, God, I want to go. Oh, get out of the grave. God. He wants to uncover His Son. He removed the stone. He took every... to do is remember what He did to me and for me. And guess what? Stand up and walk out. Oh God, help us. He says, as soon as He did this to reveal His Son or uncover His Son in me, in order that I might preach where? Among the heathens or in the heathens, right? Immediately, I did not consult with flesh and blood. I don't care what my mind tells me. I'm not consulting with flesh and blood. Everybody says, well, you didn't go talk to so-and-so. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not consulting with flesh and blood me either. I want to hear what God is saying in the very midst of me. Do you hear that? I'm wanting to hear the Spirit of God. That's what you need to hear, not me. Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. That means he wasn't having a respect of persons. You know why? I say the same thing. I stand in awe or in I don't feel like I am any less than any man or woman preaching the gospel in the world today. You know why? Because I have the same God that they have. I have the same Spirit that they have. If they're truly preaching that, we're brothers and sisters. And there's no difference between us and them. Is there? Anyone in this room with the Spirit of God in you? Or am I any greater than you are? No. I'm the same as you. I just got a different responsibility. That's all there is to it. Okay? So he went up to Jerusalem. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem where there were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. What is Arabia? It means desert or barren. I went to a barren place. I went out there by myself. And now I can hear God. I don't listen to the humanity of flesh and blood. You hear that? Most people, as soon as they get saved, oh, I got to get in a group of people. What do you believe? I don't know. Well, I don't know what I believe. What do you believe? Huh? That's conferring with flesh and blood. You know how you find out what you believe? Get in that book. Get in that book and hear what God says to you. You don't need somebody else to tell you. Doesn't the New Covenant say, you have no need of every man saying to his brother, know the Lord, for every man shall know the Lord from the greatest to the least. Now tell me who that leaves out. Oh God. You don't need somebody to spoon feed you like a little baby. We've had it for 2,000 years. Has it done any good? We need to chew some steak. Need to get some meat that we don't know of, that only the Spirit of God can reveal to you. He went to the desert and returned again to Damascus. Damascus means silent is the sackcloth weaver. What do you think that says? Silent is the sackcloth weaver. Silent, be still and know that I am God. Sackcloth weaver. Sackcloth was something they wore for what reason? Humility. Humility. Silence, and you'll hear Him, and you'll hear the humility come in, because you begin to hear God, who is humble and does bring the humility to you. You got to calm down. You go out there in the desert, and you ain't going to do no good going out there and going, See, that's the way most of us go to the desert, kicking and screaming. But we got to go out there and be still so God can begin to work in us. Because when we're screaming and hollering, We can't hear him. See, because again, I'm conferring with my flesh and blood. I got to shut it off too. I no longer conferred with flesh and blood. I never consult with my flesh and blood. How do I feel? If I took how I felt, you know half the time I wouldn't be in this room preaching. If I conferred with my flesh. Because my flesh would say, forget it. You don't feel good. Don't go out there. But you know what? When I go, I feel good. You know why I feel good? Because I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to do. And I'm not supposed to confer with my flesh and blood. It doesn't have a choice. God's purpose and plan will prevail. Drink from the well of life. Drink that water and you don't have to worry about anything. Didn't he say you'd never die? I ain't going to die coming out here. I don't care. If I did, big deal. Where am I going? Stepping right back into the Father, so who cares? Okay? Verse 18. Then after 3 years, after what? There's that number three again jumping up. Took 3 years. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode there for 15 days. Oh my, what's it really saying? After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Peter is Cephas. The word here is Cephas, not Peter. It's Cephas, and it means a pillar, okay? Cephas was considered a pillar. Paul said he perceived him as a pillar, okay? But he went up there to see, he went to Jerusalem to see Peter. Well, this tells you something now. What does Jerusalem mean? It means several things, but it means dual peace or duality. So I went back to direct duality to see Peter. What was Peter? Flesh and blood. Hello. He said, I didn't go confer with flesh and blood. I went back into the realm of duality to see Peter because that's where Peter was at. You don't believe it? Look in the book of Acts. He was still there. Tell him to go back under the limit of the law. See? So he went back and saw Peter in duality. See, Paul wouldn't say that straight out, would he? But it's there. And he abode with him how many days? 15 days. What would that say? 5 times 3. 5 times what? 3. What is it? Okay. 5. Witness of grace. He gave him grace to live with him. He knew where Peter was at. And later on, Paul rebuked Peter for the things he was doing in duality. Didn't he? Got to catch this stuff. Oh, by the way, I didn't give you a verse to cover that about Peter where he was called Cephas and a pillar. That's in Galatians 2:9. It's right on the next page, right next chapter there. Forgot to tell you that. Just something I'll throw in there, okay? And he said, but other of the apostles saw I none except James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Sicily, right? Syria is an exalted place. Sicily, yeah, but Sicily is what it really means, it comes over to. Land of Felix, or it's a land that rolls and overturns, is what it literally means. Ups and downs. Sounds like two religious realms to me. Prideful realm, okay? And I was what? And was unknown. Literally, it should say, I existed unknown. Hello, you know what a real apostle and prophet is? I'm speaking to you by the Spirit now. Can you hear me? You shouldn't be seeing me. See? Everything that they did, Jesus as the apostle, what did he do? Not notoriety. Not notoriety. Don't tell nobody. Just go on and show it to the priest and do your thing you have to do and just be quiet. Don't tell anybody. And today the religious realms, all you can do is say, I had a meeting with 500 people. I had, what is that? I had a bunch of bragging here. You go into churches, they got these little boards up there tells you how much money they get and how many people's there. You want to get embarrassed? I'll put one up. You'll get that later. Okay. Well, that's pride, but wasn't what I was talking about. Okay. I existed unknown by faith to the churches of Judea, the ones which were in Christ. See? that they didn't know. The church in Christ didn't know him because he was unknown by face. Should we know him after the face? See? Should know you by spirit. When you walk in the presence of someone with the Spirit of God, and your spirit should sense something. See? There's when you know life's in you. When I can sense life in anybody else. That's where it's at. But they which heard only, he said, was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, the ones which were in Christ, but they had heard only that the one that persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he didn't destroy, the one he ravaged. He stirred it up a little bit, okay? And this last verse is absolutely beautiful. Look what it says. And they glorified God in me. See, Paul never got no glory. Anybody looking for notoriety and fame and glory, you're in the wrong game. Because this isn't God's game. Who gets all the glory? Our Father. Oh my God. If we can't learn to live and accept the grace that God gives us, we'll never give it to anybody else. Does that make sense? I got to receive. But everybody says, well, I really don't need it. You'd be surprised people I've talked to, and they said, you know, you need to guys that say, well, you know, you really don't need to talk to my wife. I really don't need much of that, you know. I'm serious. They say, well, you know, I know what you're saying. I know. Said, but you need to talk to my wife, man. She's the one that really needs the grace. She's the one that really needs it, yeah. No, they don't understand. They don't understand. Every one of us need grace. We could not survive without it. I hope you heard my heart today. I hope you heard my heart today. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about this book. And Paul, you know, Paul said things that nobody else said, and nobody else revealed, excuse me. And all Christ is doing is uncovering, all Paul is doing is uncovering the Christ in each one of us. He's not condemning us and saying, you dirty, rotten sinners. He's saying, grace be multiplied to you. And when you get that grace, you'll see the Christ in you, and you'll be able to give the grace in an abundant supply to anybody else around you. Okay?